So today on Living Lab, we're out on Nantucket and we're at Madawi Creek visiting another Living Lab. It's a pilot program of a semester of environmental research for students from UMass Boston. And we're about to head out and speak to some of the students about the research that they're doing here this semester. So what are you guys out here doing today?
We're taking a profile of the marsh plants as you go from the low intertidal to the higher intertidal. So they're just learning about the marsh plants and different abiotic factors like temperature and salinity and oxygen as we go into the different zones.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Taking some measurements.
Taking the pH and the temperature of the water we found in there. So we use
a soil sipper to extract the groundwater from our quadrat, and now we're just checking the pretty much salinity, pH, temperature, and later on we're going to check the dissolved oxygen. Those are pretty much all the physical measurements I think we're taking.
And then you've got a square wooden frame here and you're cataloging what's inside the frame.
Yeah, so this is quadrat. Yeah, this is called a quadrat, and pretty much what we randomly place this here towards the edge, and we're counting the density of the Spartina shoots, and we're also taking any notes of any other organisms we see, so algae or mussels. We're counting all the numbers that we see in there, and then instead of working with the whole quadrat, we just randomly select one from the closer side and one from the further side, and then we use that to represent the whole area.
Just go around your group and introduce yourselves and tell us what year you are and what you're majoring in.
My name's Amy Molosky. I'm a senior, and my major is environmental science.
I'm Shannon Murphy, a major in environmental science, and I'm a senior.
My name's Jeremy, and I'm also majoring in environmental science.
My name is Connor McKay. I am a junior, and I'm pursuing a BS in environmental science.
So had you guys ever done anything like this before you came out here this semester?
Yes.
Yeah, we have. We all took coastal biology last semester, and we did exactly this.
Yeah. And we did this on campus at UMass Boston, so there's some kind of remnant salt marsh areas there, and we did this on a mud flat, actually, out there, and took a look at the different diversity and did lab reports pretty similar to what we're doing right now. So
I guess that was a positive experience that you decided to come and do it for an entire semester out here on Nantucket.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we love being outside, and it's great. UMass Boston's location, and UMass Boston's location is great because we're right on the water, and they're setting up these kind of living lab scenarios both there and obviously for the first time here on Nantucket. So we're really fortunate to be a part of that.
So if you've got access to the coast and to marshes like this right at school, why come out to Nantucket for a semester?
Living labs is an academic concept from our professor Anna Maria Frankig, and she wants to have living labs all over the world, really. But right now we're starting small in Boston here on Nantucket, putting undergraduate students in the environment and allowing them to study all the different facets of environmental science.
Yeah, and also another reason why Nantucket is kind of where we're at right now is because we've had the UMass field station here for 50 years, but this is the first year we're doing this Living Lab semester, and there's so many different coastal habitats here, obviously, because we're on an island, and there's so much of the salt marsh, and so there's a lot of opportunities here and ecosystems here that we don't have, at UMass Boston. So even though we work with what we have there, there's really a lot of different resources here and just so many different, within such a small space, so many different things to look at. And so that's really why, I think, one of the reasons why we're here.
You guys have also been learning about Nantucket's history and culture a bit, right?
Yeah.
And, what's it like to be out here? It's not exactly high season for Nantucket. It's kind of gray and a little bit chilly and a little bit emptier. What's it like to actually be out here off season?
It's a lot different. It's quiet. The community knows we're here, and whenever they see any of us, they always say, "How's it going? How's Living Lab?" So it's a lot different. It's a lot quieter.
What have you guys been doing to keep busy on your weekends?
Coming out here, yeah. Doing some exploring, going to the field station. Yeah.
The way our classes work is, unlike how the schedule would be at school, where we're taking, four or five classes at a time, here it's 3 weeks for each course. So it's one course at a time, pretty much every day we're working on that. And then while we're doing that, we're also working on our independent projects. So we all have independent projects that are spanning the whole time while we're here, which are addressing issues that kind of were self-identified by the community. And those independent projects are part of a larger group of three or four students, which is called a capstone group. So, for example, me and Connor are working in the human systems group, and you know, we each have our independent projects that link into that system.
So has your experience out here changed your perspective on environmental science, made you think maybe it is something you want to do as a career or isn't, or has it just reinforced what you were already thinking?
A little bit of everything. We've been studying like the discipline of environmental science and hydrology and very specific things, but it's been a bit inspiring as well to know that, because you hear climate change, it's a bit, it makes you feel bad, you know, like we're not, there's nothing to be done, but we're out here doing things and learning about what people are doing, specifically here in the island, but we've had a lot of speakers come talk to us as well, so.
Yeah, definitely a big part of the program here is getting engaged with the community, and there's a lot of different speakers and people who are here, you know, so obviously when we talk about tourist season, is it tourist season right now? No, absolutely not, but the people who are here who are working all the time, you know, living on Nantucket and really living and breathing this kind of stuff, who are kind of behind the scenes, are the folks that are coming in and giving us firsthand experiences and, you know, letting us know what they do. And that's just a really great connection to be able to meet those people face-to-face in a kind of more intimate setting. You know, there's only 18 students, I think, and 17 and two TA. So it's a really close community, whereas, you know, you might be coming from UMass Boston where you're used to much larger class sizes, and obviously there's no, you know, on campus or anything like that at UMass, so this is just a completely different situation, and I think that, you know, the immersion and the setting and the environments that we have access to, it's just unparalleled. So
how were the 18 students selected? Did you have to apply for the program?
Yep, we all filled out applications and got recommendations, and then we were chosen.
Yep.
Well, congratulations. All right, great. Well, we'll let you guys get back to it.
All right, thank you.
Hi.
Rodriguez.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
What's the hole in the middle of your quadrat?
We took a soil sample so we can take it back to the lab and measure, what are we going to do? The nitrogen in it, so.
And what does that tell you about the marsh?
How many nutrients are available for the plants. So, you know, the more nitrogen availability, the more productivity you're going to have from the plants.
So what kind of research projects are you guys doing during your semester out here? I know each of you has your own individual project. Can you tell us a little bit about what those are?
Sure. I'm doing the carrying capacity for the island of Nantucket for the human population. I'll be looking at what the carrying capacity was back in the whaling days and comparing that to today, as well as the tourism influx of people that come, and if there is enough resources to sustain all of that.
My project involves taking the scallop shell and trying to put a geochemical print on the bottom half of the shell. Because of the way that scallops build their shells, they take in water from their surroundings after they drop. And it's kind of in an effort to try to brand the scallop because of the composition of the water. If we can figure out exactly what it is that makes the shell of the Nantucket Bay scallop, it could prevent other fisher industries and aquaculture from trying to say they were selling Nantucket Bay scallops when they're not really selling an authentic product.
Is that a problem?
Definitely. I mean, people were saying that they went to New York in October and they saw someone advertising Nantucket Bay scallops, but the season doesn't start till November down here.
All right. Well, we've definitely been hearing in the Globe and other newspapers about mislabeling of fish. I didn't realize it was happening with shellfish as well.
And it's happening everywhere.
Yeah. And my independent project, we're actually standing in it. So I've got salt marsh zonation, and I'm comparing three salt marshes: Folgers, the less impacted marsh; Madui, which is in the process of being restored; and then the Creeks, which is closer to the town. And that's the most heavily impacted by excess nutrients from the, you know, anthropogenic effects of, you know, developed land around it.
So were your projects assigned to you, or something that ideas that you generated yourself?
We actually got to choose, like, you know, decided, okay, there was three of the projects that kind of appealed to us the most. And the professors, actually, Anna Maria Frankic and Dr. Hannigan, decided which, you know, where we were going to end up. So
yeah, there was five themes overall five themes overall with three or four sub-categories, depending on how many students there were. They all kind of tie in together, so towards the end of the semester, those of us who are working on similar projects will get together for a big kind of overarching class on the theme.
And what will you do with the results of your research projects?
Hopefully publish them, and they can help out with the island, to improve the functionality of the wildlife here.
And also, it's a great, what we're going to be leaving behind is records for the next influx of students that they can build on our project. So, hopefully our results will be, this is where, like for me, for example, this is where the marshes are or were in 2013, the springtime. And, they can hopefully take my findings and build on that.
Great. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Can we interrupt you guys for a few minutes?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm Heather, by the way. Maybe if we could just go around and each of you could introduce you your name and what year you are and your major. All
right. My name's Travis Lowry. I'm a sociology major and an EOS major at UMass Boston, and I'm going to be graduating December this year.
Hi, I'm Nicole. I'm an environmental science major with a minor in anthropology.
I'm Lewin Froome, an EOS major, environmental, earth, and ocean science, and I'll be graduating in May.
You mentioned sociology and anthropology, not necessarily just the ecological sciences. How is your experience out here on Nantucket feeding in with those interests?
Well, I'm also an environmental science major, but with the sociology concept, it kind of connects with us working with the community, seeing what's going on Nantucket Island, and seeing how people have their impact on the environment, and we're pretty much showing that through our projects that we're going to be working on throughout the semester.
So what is your project that you're working on?
Well, I'm actually working on this area right here, Madawi Creek Salt Marsh, and I have aerial photos dating back from 1939, and I'm going to be using GIS software to see, the physical change of this harbor and see if there's any human impact that was involved in it. But mostly it's just natural, erosion and seeing how far the coast moved back.
And how about you? What's the project that you're working on while you're out here?
I'm working on eutrophication of the island, so just seeing how we can restore things and keep it resilient against human activity.
So me, I'm working on responsible landscaping, where I'll use GIS software to quantify how much runoff goes in, so nitrates loading and phosphorus loading, to calculate how much that is an impact on the harbors and water bodies.
So how has this experience on Nantucket changed your ideas about what you might go on to do as a career, or has it just reinforced the ideas that you already had?
It actually reinforced the idea that, environmental issues are becoming a major, major issue across the whole globe. So starting here and experiencing this would give me a better perspective of what I need to do in terms of career-wise, and reinforce the fact that the environment is impacted by a human and we need to fix it.
So I think it's really interesting that you've got, 16, 18 of you all doing these individual projects. How do you do you guys talk on a regular basis among the different projects to try to pull those together and see what everybody else is learning, or is it not until the end that you really pull everything together?
Well, we have our independent projects, and it's groups of three, which we have one capstone project. Mine's coastal habitat, and there's a few more, which you've probably heard. That's where we're pretty much cooperating, getting different inputs, and we're pretty much on a regular basis, getting together and seeing what pace we're going at and, the steps to get there pretty much to our final project.
I'm stuck in the mud.
It's pretty muddy over here.
I just about went over backward. I was just about to be laid out on my back.
Hi, my name is Ashley Bolseco McKim. I'm the program assistant, one of the program assistants here, and a PhD student through UMass Boston under Dr. Robin Hannigan. And I'm basically here to assist with their research, kind of work on some of their projects together, get them outside, and I'm also looking to try and do some research here eventually.
So does this semester out here help advance your own graduate work in any way?
Absolutely. What it's done is it's just exposed me to the environment here. I'm actually from Hawaii originally. So from one island to another, I'm very familiar with the island system, and it definitely intrigues me as to how the ecosystem works. So being out here has been great. I am also interested in eventually pursuing academia. So that was another reason I wanted to come out here, was to be able to work with undergraduates. We've all been learning together, and it's been a great experience.
So what brought you to UMass Boston from Hawaii?
I actually grew up some of my childhood in central Massachusetts, in Princeton, Mass. I went to Hawaii for my undergraduate, and most of my family is from there as well.
Today on Living Lab, we're visiting another Living Lab, the Living Lab's Semester on Nantucket program run by UMass Boston. We've been out in Madawi Marsh talking with a number of the undergraduates participating in the program, and now we're going to head back to the lab, and we'll be speaking with some of the faculty and organizers of the program.
We're back from the marsh and sitting in the main classroom of the field station. With me is Robin Hannigan, the dean for the School of the Environment at UMass Boston, and Sarah Oktay, the director of the UMass Boston Nantucket Field Station. Talk a little bit about the history of the field station. I think this place actually flies under the radar for a lot of people. A lot of people don't even know that it's here, and it's been here for decades.
Yes. We've been here for 50 years, so we were acquired by the University of Massachusetts Amherst in 1963, and that's true across the country. Universities all over the United States acquired field stations in the mid-60s. And we've been operating for 50 years, offering summer classes and having researchers work here. But it has been quieter, and now that we're getting more scientists and more students interested, I'm definitely getting out in the community and getting the community to come in and see what role we play. I think all academia and scientists are realizing that we have to describe our science to the public and that they're partners in this with us. So, for instance, this week, later on, we'll be doing the science fair and judging the science fair. So a couple of the students are going to go with me, which I do every year. So it's great to have the students here to show them what a real life as a scientist at a field station is all about. And it's all about working with the community.
How did the idea for the Living Labs program come about?
That's an excellent question. It probably started several years ago. Actually, we had one on the field station a couple decades ago in the 70s, mm-hmm. where we had residential students here taking courses. That went away, and you know, we'd always been talking about how much fun it would be to restart it. And so over conversations on the field station with Sarah and other faculty, we decided to just give it a shot.
So the field station has been here for quite a while. What made this program possible now?
We were fortunate enough to have a collaboration from Remain Nantucket, which is a nonprofit that is focused on revitalizing and keeping downtown active, and also the Nantucket Conservation Foundation, who are our landlords, as well as the ones who make sure that our students have access to conservation lands in collaboration with others here on the island.
And I know you have programs here during the summer. How different is it to be here off-season in the winter into the early spring?
Well, we do offer a total of 6 to 7 classes in the summer, and it's obviously warmer in the summer. The whole island's much busier. In the off-seasons, it's much quieter, and the presence of the students actually makes a difference to the island. They're more obvious versus a bunch of college students that would just be part of the scrum of 80,000 people that are on the island. So there's some difficulties and challenges because you're out in a salt marsh in 20-degree weather, and some things are growing and some aren't. But overall, it's easier to concentrate on what you're doing. It's easier to bond. We have a lot of scientists and writers that come here and do things that involve bonding and working in an enclosed environment where you can really focus and concentrate. And I think it's better for the students in that way.
I mean, we tend to think that most natural systems have gone a little bit dormant during the winter around here. How different are the natural environments that the students are studying? Is there still a lot for them to be working on?
I would say from the geologic and the chemical side, it's actually much more alive. That here we see winds ripping across the beaches and the profiles changing on a daily basis, where in the summers we may not be able to see that. We see the waves and the salt marsh actually doing its job in the
winter. We've seen that certainly this winter with all the storms that we've had. You know, you were just saying that the bluff outside the window here has retreated 10 feet, and you've actually had students here who have been able to then observe that and learn from that.
Yeah, and it's been fantastic because from my perspective, you know, from Sarah's a little different because she's here at the field station all the time, but for me, those storms removed a bunch of recent sand and uncovered, you know, 1,000 years worth of history on the bluff that was hidden before that. So it's really exciting for the students to see the old dunes and the old beach the way it was thousands of years ago.
Now, one of the really unique things about this program, I think, is that, I mean, they're doing coursework while they're here, but so much of their time is outside of the classroom, and there's actually a lot of research to show that sometimes the most powerful science-related experience when you talk to very successful scientists later in their careers was actually something that happened outside the classroom. It wasn't necessarily a course they took. Do you expect this to be a more powerful experience for the students because of the time they're spending outside of the classroom?
That's really the role that field stations play all over the United States and all over the world. So there are 250 field stations that are associated with universities and different groups, and they all provide hands-on workplaces for students, especially in communities where they can actually apply their work to policy-type decisions. So it's a way different to be out in the salt marsh, actually mucking about and learning where Spartina patens versus Altona flora is zoned or growing, and compare what you learn in a book to what's really happening and how that's being affected by sea level change. And you're never going to forget putting on a pair of waders or being in a small blizzard while you're trying to look for a little surf clam.
So is there ongoing research here at the field station beyond the courses that the students are doing?
Oh, yeah. I have a whole series of interns and junior scientists and even kids as young as 7, 8, 9 that work with me in the summertime. And in the off-season, we've got graduate students. We do biodiversity surveys. We interact with different groups here on island with Mariah Mitchell and with Linda Loring Nature Foundation and Nantucket Conservation Foundation. So we have a wide range of research going from invasive species removal to water quality. That's really my specialty is looking at nutrients and eutrophication in groundwater and surface water. So I have research going on pretty much year-round, and having these students here right now actually bolsters my research because I can get more measurements before all of the summer people come back and before we start getting increased nutrient input.
Now, a number of the students mentioned that they had done similar sorts of measurements to what they were doing in the salt marsh here in salt marshes actually around the UMass Boston campus. And in some ways it seems like that could in itself be a very powerful experience to realize how close those salt marshes are to their urban home. Do you have any sense of how differently the students are connecting to this marsh, whether this whole experience on Nantucket feels somewhat removed like a holiday, or are they connecting to this as a really, real life and grounded experience?
I think the students, as they're getting to know the ecosystems here on the island, have a much deeper sense of these ecosystems being real and being functional and being part of their lives. And I think it's awakened an understanding for the ecosystems that are around the UMass Boston campus and the ones that they grew up with in downtown Boston. I think before this experience, they probably looked at Savin Hill Cove and the marshes there as not really functional. I don't know what they are. They're just collecting junk. But now they know what the purpose of a salt marsh really is. And when they go back to that UMass campus, they're going to look at it in a very, very different way.
What percentage, I guess, of the student population, how big is the environmental sciences program at UMass Boston to have 16 students down here? What proportion of the population is that?
We have 250 majors right now, although we found that after the announcement of the Nantucket activities that we have more majors as people start to declare us, which is great. So I'd say this group actually represents probably about 40% of our current juniors. And so I would say all of our students we expect to have a residential experience like this, that we want to provide that for them through Nantucket and through other partnerships that we have across the country.
So this is the first semester that this has been going on. It's billed as a pilot project. Has it lived up to expectations?
It's exceeded expectations. I think that when Sarah and Len and several of the faculty sat down and we thought about what do we want this experience to accomplish, we thought, at least I thought, we were pushing the envelope. And I think that we've exploded the envelope, and it's exceeded every expectation. The students are better than we thought they could be. The classes have immersed them in ways that we hadn't expected. I mean, I think that everything has been better for us than we expected.
Now, one of the students mentioned that he expects or hopes to be able to publish the results of his independent project. Is that something that you expect to happen for a number of the students, that they'll actually be able to get a real scientific publication out of their semester here?
Oh, yes, I think so. The kind of problems that we have worked with the students to identify and address are ones that can be addressed in a scientific rigor that would be able to be published in a peer-reviewed literature. So everything I ask my students to do year-round is the same thing that we're asking these students. And I think that they're surprising themselves by how much they're able to do. And I'm a big fan of that, as is Robin, as is UMass Boston and the School for the Environment. So making students be empowered and understand that they have the wherewithal both mentally and physically, and with stick-to-itiveness is what has made a difference in their research.
So this was a pilot project. Do you expect this to continue next fall or and into the next few years?
I expect to be here in the fall, to be here in the spring, to grow the program in size, to eventually have on Nantucket a real university presence year-round where we have undergraduate students that live here, that go to school here, faculty that are working here, and that we really take advantage of the fact that you've got an environmentally aware and an empowered community that lives here on the island year-round. We've got ecosystems you can't find anywhere else in the entire world.
Like what?
Sitting right here. We have Champlain grasslands. I mean, Sarah can tick off a bazillion of them for you. I'll let her do that.
Oh, thanks. Yes, we do have a large majority of endangered habitats, which a lot of people don't think about habitats and how they can be endangered, and one of those are Champlain grasslands. And 70 to 75% of the world's Champlain grasslands exist on Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and on small areas in the Cape. So students are actually able to work at a habitat that they couldn't work at up in Boston. We've also got tundra-type plants, we've got uplands, and 50% of the island is conserved. So they have an area where they don't have to worry about development encroaching on water quality or on fertilizer input or on development as far as beach erosion. They can measure beach erosion occurring on a naturalized beach, which is really important, and those are becoming extremely rare in Massachusetts and along all of New England.
You talked about growing the program, actually having a larger presence here. Is that something that the Nantucket community is supportive of, do you think?
Yes, and that's one of the things when you were talking about how we, instead of pushing the envelope, have actually exploded the envelope. Nantucketers, I think, are very pleasantly surprised about how awesome it is to have students running around here downtown. They're actually revitalizing downtown. They're contributing in the Spelling Bee and the History Bowl and in ways where they can actually see the students out and about and at the Athenaeum. So it is bringing some new life to, you know, what can be a sleepy town in the wintertime. So I think Nantucketers are really, really impressed and pleasantly surprised that these college students are hanging out and learning things and working with high schoolers. And that's been a big positive. And going forward, I think that the sky's the limit.
We've been talking with Robin Hannigan, the Dean for the School of the Environment at UMass Boston, and Sarah Oktay, the Director of the UMass Boston Nantucket Field Station. It's been a pleasure.
For me, too. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Heather.
For more on UMass Boston's Living Lab program or to leave a comment, visit our website, capeandislands.org. You'll find our Living Lab in the program menu. Until next week, thanks for listening. I'm Heather Goldstone.
Living Lab on the Point is produced by Heather Goldstone. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Living Lab on the Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.